Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dallas Cowboys have a running back. Who says they're not all in? Good morning, Metroplex. Hump Day Edition.
Hey.
With Sean, RJ, and Roberto here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for turning it on. Leaving it on the show of Wales is coming up big today with Voice of the Mavs, Chuck Cooperstein at 8. Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, brought to you by Mr. Electric at 8:20. He is back from Augusta. And then Bruce Bochy at 9:20 here on The Fan. Who's in the Cowboy backfield, Bobby?
It's Royce Freeman.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
We've solved all of our problems. Royce Freeman, who was a 2018 third-round pick out of Oregon, has bounced around the league. This will now be his fifth team. Was okay for the Rams last year. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can do something. But, I mean, this is essentially, to me, this is the Ronald Jones signing from last year, where you signed Ronald Jones and then ultimately you got to the end of training camp and said, all right, we're good enough for running back.
So he has no legs.
Yeah, well, I mean, he has legs, but yeah, for 6 years in the NFL, he has 1,700 rushing yards. So
that's almost like a good year.
Look, you just need a contribution, okay? And that's all the Cowboys are looking for, contributors.
An article has just dropped from our buddy Don Van Natta, the investigative reporter that nobody wants to see, over at ESPN on Bill Belichick and why he's unemployed. And I've read kind of through the first quarter of this thing, because how many words is this? I don't know. But in the hours leading up to the Falcons' hiring of Raheem Morris, Bill Belichick thought he had this job. He still thought that he had the job. And he had realized in the offseason over drinks with another coach that his way, his autonomy of head coach and general manager was a dying way of doing things in the NFL, and that he had told the Falcons, I'll work with the GM. I do not need total control, and I'm down to just coach. And the Atlanta Falcons went around their room of decision makers, voted on who the next head coach should be. Bill Belichick did not finish in anybody's top three.
All right, so they probably voted, obviously, Raheem and then Vrabel. God, who else was?
I mean, Quinn. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, it could have been Quinn.
No, they wouldn't have had Quinn.
He was already there.
There's somebody else who was involved. But, I mean, like, that just
that's a lot.
How people feel about the Patriot way at this point. A lot of people are, I think, writing off to, okay, so it was Tom. Like, that's how it seems like people are approaching the Patriot
way. Well,
not
that it was Tom. I don't necessarily agree with that, but we don't want to put up with this guy. We don't want to put up with his way of doing things. I don't think anyone would question that, like, if you had an NFL quiz, that Bill Belichick would smoke everyone in the room. That's the way I feel about it. If you're going to design a one-day game plan to win, Bill Belichick is the one that you would pick. But you got to put up with him. And the players have to put up with him.
Yeah, the player, like the players don't want to play for a guy like that, I don't think, anymore. But, you know, also his way of doing things in terms of control. It's just not reality the way the sport is going. Now, he could pledge all he wants that he doesn't need all the team control. Like, okay, like, it's one of those things where you got to prove it. Well, how are you going to prove it? Well, you need a job. Well, is anybody going to take that risk?
Well, he should have control, in my opinion.
Of personnel?
No.
That's the thing.
No, after the player, yeah.
Like, that's what they're talking, that right? Is that, that's the, yeah, that to me is the holdup.
After the general manager picks the players, then Belichick should have control of everything.
Like, in terms of roster construction, if he wants to have, like, control of the game plan, yeah. But
you're, like, not totally buying that he's not getting involved in personnel.
He could say all he wants, but, you know, at the end of the day, he's still the guy that's got, like, you know, Parcells still heavy-handed. Like, when Parcells came here, yeah, he didn't have full control, but he was still a much more potent voice than Dave Campbell was in the building.
It's like LeBron saying, this is Anthony Davis's team.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right. Who took the last air ball yesterday before Anthony Davis got the rebound? It was LeBron, and it's going to be LeBron. But his leadership style turned off the league. Robert Kraft in New England wanted to get rid of him after the 2022 season, but his son Jonathan talked him out of it. So they kept paying him a reported $25 million a year. This offseason, he's expected to sign up with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions. So we'll see what happens with Monday Night Football or something else. And he's believed to be biding his time, according to this Don Van Natta piece, for openings for teams he told confidants he'd be interested in coaching. The New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, and Detroit Lions? No, Dallas Cowboys. A source who spoke with a longtime friend of Belichick, though, said, I don't think he'll ever be a head coach in the National Football League unless it's for Jerry.
Wow, yeah, and there's another line here that when he was going through the process of trying to figure out where he could end up, that it said Dallas was a potential suitor. It said, on paper, the Cowboys seem to make sense. Belichick and Jerry Jones are decades-long friends, and both are in win-now mode, allegedly. Nobody is better than Belichick at converting a talented roster to a championship team, and Belichick told a friend that he liked the idea of sticking it to the Crafts by working for Jerry Jones. But Jones, for all his flash and bluster and vows this offseason to go all in, is change-averse when it comes to head coaches and decided quickly after Dallas's blowout loss to Green Bay that Mike McCarthy would coach the final year of his contract. So Belichick had interest here. That's like confirmed interest now that we know about. But this reads like, I mean, obviously not having gone through the whole thing yet, but like just reading sections of this, it's almost pathetic. Like it's like Belichick is just like sitting there going like, please give me a job. I'll do whatever you want. Please. And the people are just like, no.
Yeah.
And like, it makes me wonder, like, does Popovich run into this
right
today?
What other all-time great coach could run into this? Like, even Phil. I mean, Phil got his chance with the Knicks. Now, he did not have a nasty ending with the Lakers like Belichick had with New England to turn people off. Like, if Belichick walks away from New England after the last championship, he's probably hired.
Oh, he's hired in seconds.
Yeah.
There's a stain.
Yeah, there's
and,
a stain.
You know, we like, talked about this, like the prime of somebody, you know, at the fade. And it happened to Bill. It is definitely the end completely changed. There were people 20 months ago who universally said he was the greatest coach of all time without hesitation. And now, is it even 50-50 anymore? The amount of people that crap on his career. Now, I think it's clearly not remotely close to what it was. I mean, he was almost 100%. And now if he's higher than 60%, I'll be stunned.
I think a lot of this, the reason why you mentioned in the article there where it talked about culture, like less even so maybe than personnel, like some of it was culture, like his style, the way that he does things. I know there were, like I had heard around the league, there were a lot of people in personnel departments at other teams that were like, if we hire Bill Belichick here, I quit. I'm leaving. I'm not working with him. And so, I mean, if teams get a sense like there's going to be a revolt in their department over hiring the guy, they're just not going to do it.
There was almost a golf revolt over the rumor that Rory McIlroy was going to live.
He has denied this, telling Golf Central he's never received an offer and he'll play on the PGA Tour for the rest of his career. But there was a report out there from a London daily that says Rory had about to take an $850 million offer to go to live.
I hit live.
So this would have been the absolute kick in the pants to the PGA Tour. This guy, now if I'm Rory, I'm telling the PGA Tour to go screw themselves. They threw you to the wolves, and they didn't even tell you they were going to join a partnership with Liv. They let you go and sit on that wall. Like Lieutenant Colonel Nathan R. Jessup, whatever it is.
You need me on that wall.
You were going to tell him to sit on that wall for you and take all the bullets, and then you're going to go and you're going to do this back-channel deal, and you're going to go and join Liv and try to do a partnership with Liv, the PIF. If I'm Rory, I'm taking the $850 million. I'm running.
And then you get destroyed for the rest of your life as a traitor
or a liar. But now you're a billionaire, and if you're a billionaire, you tell everybody else to go spit.
Isn't it like it definitely sounds like he's softening his position though?
Yeah, he's
like with his words, because I mean, we've gone from I hate live to everything else to this one. The quote he gave was, I've made it clear over the last years that I don't think live is something for me. That's how he's talking about now. He's like, doesn't mean that I judge people that have went over and played over there. He said, who are we to judge them for that? It's like, well, it felt like you were kind of judging people for a good year, but I guess not anymore.
A Caitlin Clark kegger.
Hit the Caitlin Clark open. Sean, we got to make a Caitlin Clark open for Sean.
A Caitlin Clark kegger. This is from RJ Choppy, who sent multiple stories yesterday as the whole world was reacting to the WNBA salaries and much more.
Yeah, I have four Caitlin Clark stories here.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Love it, Chop.
Here we go. Number one. An anonymous WNBA GM says that he would trade his entire team, or she would trade, I don't know if it was a male or female, it's anonymous, would trade their entire roster for the number one overall pick to get Caitlin Clark.
The Mike Ditka theory.
It's a very Mike Ditka theory. And I have to say, this is a wonderful idea. You either have a winning NBA team or you have Caitlin Clark, and you'll be in last place. And guess what? Caitlin Clark in last place will outdraw the best WNBA team. They will outdraw them. They will outrate them on TV. They will get 36 out of 40 TV, national TV games.
Aren't they changing arenas or something?
Yeah, so in Vegas, when they were the Las Vegas Aces, by the way, the best team in the sport. They win it all every year. Kelsey Plum, all the things. They play, I think it's in the Cox building, and they're moving when they play her next door. The Thomas and Mack Center, where UNLV plays, the big arena.
It's time for the ladies' man.
And they're doing it just for her. Bigger arena, more seats. The Cox Center is basically a glorified high school gym. It's 2,000 seats. You know, it's where they play a lot of summer league games. It's quaint. It's cool, whatever. But it's very, very small. It may be more than 2,000. But they're going to move that. And, like, I would much rather have Caitlin Clark than be the best team in the WNBA. I have 1,000% selling more tickets. And then I'll get a high draft pick. I'll rebuild my team, and eventually I'll be good when she is going to be great. That's how it works. You know, short-term gain here. So that's one of them. Next one. The contract.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously we talked about this yesterday. Her four-year rookie deal totals $338,000. Meanwhile, Victor Wembanyama's rookie deal is 4 years, $55 million. Katie Couric, was a journalist. I don't know what she is now. She posts this on Instagram. She has two accounts that she posts this on.
Ah, she's an influencer.
No, your eyes aren't deceiving you. You're looking at more than a $12 million pay difference between the first playing years of Caitlin Clark and last year's number one pick in the NBA draft. Did you know that Clark made an estimated $3 million in name, image, and likeness deals during her senior year in Iowa? Oh, and 2 hours after joining the Fever, she became Fanatics' top-selling draft pick in any draft night in history. The previous record holder was Trevor Lawrence. Curious about their stats? 31 points, yada, yada, yada. Wembanyama averaged 22 points heading into the draft. Hashtag everyone watches women's sports. And the comments here show me no faith in humanity. Completely ignoring any remote give a crap about who watches, how many people watch, how many people buy tickets, the structure of the NBA, the fact that it's had a 100-year start on the WNBA almost, completely ignoring any of that and just going with, hey, you know, equal play, equal pay.
Jemele Hill, everybody's favorite, chimed in.
Love her.
For years, WNBA players have fought for more money. And when they were outspoken, so many of y'all told them to shut up or reminded them how they had no value. The NBA has had 50-plus years of investment, media coverage. After 27 years, the WNBA will not be the current NBA, so stop comparing them. The salary, though, for context, Caitlin's salary for 4 months of basketball, 40 games. Players also receive a free apartment plus car. It doesn't make the salaries acceptable, but now you know why so many women's players play overseas to boost or supplement their income.
Yeah, and they do. That's why. Brittany Griner went to Russia. She wasn't in Russia to get more weed pens. She was in Russia.
No, she brought those with her.
She was in Russia to go play basketball, to go make $30,000 in a month. You know that, like, yeah, like the WNBA players are not paid well. They also don't generate a lot of revenue. And that's a problem. Like, that's the problem. They also, their collective bargaining agreement, you know, the NBA's and Major League Baseball's, like, it's basically a 50-50 split, right? You get $10 billion in revenue a year, and you pay out $5 billion in salaries. It's a 50 or $5 billion goes to the players in some form of retirement, salaries, all the things. That doesn't happen in the WNBA. They got to get a better CBA.
We may have to apologize to this famous Dallas Cowboys quarterback because of dad bods. Plus, we'll chop it up during the commercial-free expressway, then Chuck Cooperstein, Matt Pittman, and Bruce Boche. Hump Day edition.
Hump Day.
Continuing on the fan. Yeah, I messed up, Bobby. Stop staring at me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chuck Cooperstein, voice of the Mavericks, previews the Clippers series at 8. We'll ask him what he's hearing about Kawhi Leonard's knee. It's a Meet Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman, brought to you by Mr. Electric, and then Bruce Bochy to talk about his struggling offense at 9:20 this morning on your home of the World Series champs. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We're going to chop it up here coming up momentarily with Raph James. But first, I may have to apologize to Tony Romo because of Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick, I don't know what his middle name is, Mahomes was talking about dad bods. He did an interview with Time Magazine.
LeVon, by the way.
LeVon.
That's his middle name, yep.
Okay.
He's a junior. Nice.
He's a junior. They're doing interviews with GQ, Esquire. Was it Vogue? Vogue was with Angel Reese. And now Time Magazine said, I definitely have the dad bod a little bit. I'd also say I have a great body for a quarterback. You've got to have some padding in there to take the hits that we take. Do we, Shan the Sheriff, owe Tony Romo a bit of an apology? We, with great prejudice, did bring up some love handles and man boobs and dad bod issues that we saw. There was a famous photo that we captured on our phones in 2010 that barely had cameras on them. Of a guy that was a little fluffy at training camp. And here's the GOAT, or wannabe GOAT. And if you look at the other GOATs around, I mean, Brady was never jacked. He was very, very skinny at times.
Mm-hmm.
Manning, the other Manning, Ben. Ben was fat, let's be fair.
Well, at the end.
At the end. I mean, Stafford's had beer face his whole life, right? Drink face.
Still skinny, though.
Still, yes, but not, is he shredsy? Do you have to be shredsy?
I don't think he was ever chunky.
I saw
Stafford.
A belly.
I'm trying to think if there was...
Russ was thicker.
Russ is thick. Is Tua's a little thick, isn't he?
I mean, he wasn't that the thought process? They said he needed to get thicker and learn how to fall or something. So, I mean, I guess he got there. But I can't think of a single, like, ripped quarterback, though.
Career? You talking about, like, a great one?
Yeah, like any of
Cam, I don't know. I just assume Cam was just
Cam
a
was probably
unit.
Jacked. Yes. Look, if Mahomes believes in that and he's right, then I would owe an apology to Romo. Where I was like, okay, he could be like in a tad bit better shape. Or was he keeping some cushion for the pounding?
Oh.
Yeah,
I thought you were going so
I was trying to think of another. I was trying to get out of it. Some cushion for the pounding. I don't know if that's much better as a
not
phrase.
Really.
No, not really. Yeah. What do you make? What do you make of this theory, Bob?
I could see it. Look, I mean, if he's Patrick Mahomes, I don't think he just like, you know, drop that. And Patrick Mahomes is definitely super committed to, like, working on his body and tweaking things during the offseason. He works relentlessly with Bobby Stroup, who had the APEC facility out here in Fort Worth for forever. It's the same one Derek Holland goes and trains at.
Well.
But, you know, because of that, like, I got to think that his physique is intentional. So if that's the case, then, yeah, it probably, you know, you don't want to. How many times do we hear that discussion about, like, receivers and stuff like that where they're like, their frame, it's a little too small. They're going to get broken in half playing this game.
So, yes, Tony, if that was the intent, then I do officially apologize. Maybe I'll apologize to him in person tomorrow when we're out there at the Celebrity Classic.
We will be at the Invited Celebrity Classic at Las Colinas Country Club tomorrow. It's going to be a fun event. We have not been out there for this. But it's every year this thing takes place. And this is where you're going to have guys from the Champions Tour. So you're going to have former, you know, PGA Tour golfers that you probably have heard of in the past. You've had like Retief Goosen and Ernie Els out there. And then, of course, you're going to have Tony Romo's and John Smoltz's and DeMarcus Ware's of the world. Adam Thielen, a lot of guys that Greg Maddux, they'll all be out there.
Don't bring up Thielen's name.
Why? He was great. He was fun.
But he said he was going to come in studio with
That's
us.
That's true.
And maybe sign with the Cowboys. Mm. Or we may have made that part up, but he was going to come in here and putt.
I mean, that would not be the first player that told us they wanted to sign with the Cowboys, and then the Cowboys said, we have no money.
Who's the other?
We're poor. I mean, I think you can, if people want to guess by deducing how many people we've had come in the studio recently, you can figure it out.
Speaking of the Cowboys, Stephen Jones yesterday made national news by saying, look, 5 years. We all have a certain amount of money to spend in 5 years, and we have done that. We spend all the money available when it comes to the salary cap. And the KNC Masterpiece also asked Steven, are you set on Tyler Smith being a guard, or could he still be moved to tackle with offensive line talk dominating for the Cowboys in round one?
Well, versatility is a huge thing, and that's what Tyler Smith brings to the table. The fact that he can swing out there, and if we feel like there's a better fit at guard or center, and knowing that we have a player like TJ Bass there, then we can look at it. And as I said, we like our Walesko. He's had a couple of things injury-wise, and we hadn't necessarily needed him. And same goes for Awesom Richards. We feel like we got some answers there at tackle. I think, you know, the bigger thing is we've got a young player in Hoffman there at center. But, you know, there's some guys that we may give a chance there to snap the ball. It's not out of the question that TJ Bass gets reps at the center position. So all these things will work into our strategy as we move forward.
Yeah, which, I mean, Bass did take some snaps at center during practice last year. So, I mean, they've cross-trained him. They've gotten ready. I still say, when you look at how the draft is supposed to break down and everything else, like, it makes the most sense to me that they take a center, because they feel like TJ Bass can be an NFL starting guard right now. Is he top of the league? Maybe not, but they feel like he can hold his own and he can start there for 17 games. And they know Tyler Smith can hold down left tackle. Even if they think he's a better guard, they know he can do that. So in terms of just, you know, doling out resources and responsibilities and everything else, they can cover pretty much all their bases except center with guys they feel like they have on the roster.
Okay. Except center. So, I mean, that's a draft it.
Hoffman in a pinch, I think. Like, if they have to, they would, but I don't think they'd feel super comfortable. They think... They absolutely believe Bass is further along at guard than Hoffman is at center. And so that would leave you the one void right there.
Does anyone know Laura Sadler?
I've heard the name.
Okay.
Is that Jared's sister?
It's Sandler.
No. Oh.
Host of DFW's Morning News, Cliff. She's got 1,200 followers. She's reporting something about the Dak case, but I'm going to send this on over to Dak's attorney for confirmation, just to go ahead and see if this is the case. So while I stall and text before chopping it up here on 105 through the Fan, we'll also tell you about what the Eagles are thinking as we head into the draft. Howie Roseman said, because he's going to be trending, Howie's going to be trending along with the Ravens. The Eagles filled their needs in free agency so they can draft for talent, not need. That's usually a Cowboy philosophy.
Yeah, look, I mean, they it's funny. I don't know that they spend as aggressively to fill their needs via free agency. Like, even when they've done that, when they've covered their bases, it's not typically the tier level in terms of quality of player that the Eagles have gone after. But, yeah, Dallas typically plays in these waters to some extent. They'll sign somebody. It's not just Eric Kendricks and Royce Freeman over the course of a month and a half. That is the stunning part of this to me. That's the biggest problem. It's not even the all-in thing of like, well, you didn't go out and sign a bunch of big people. You signed no one, really. And you let a lot of guys walk out the door while you're short a fourth-round draft pick. I don't know what it is that they think they're going to do to cover all their rosters, unless they're just planning on, hey, we're going to a bunch of undrafted free agents and see who gets cut in June. Like, that's the only thing that I can think their approach would be at this point, because they've got to get bodies at the very least.
In this Bill Belichick profile piece, was it Florio who said that Belichick didn't want them or the Eagles didn't want Belichick? I can't remember which way it was, but...
Well, he said, though, in the article, they said the only teams they could see him going to, yeah, Philadelphia, the Cowboys, and... Or that he would want
to. No, but there was something about media coverage. Bill didn't want a lot of large media noise. And I think he said that Jeff Lurie did not like Bill.
Yeah, I think it was, he said the Eagles didn't want Belichick is what it was.
Well, Don Van Natta and others from ESPN in this piece, in this Bill Belichick profile, says that's not true. That the Eagles had some discussions, and they believe that he still had his fastball, because Belichick had nearly beaten them in the 2023 season opener. So there was talk Belichick would have had some interest.
Yeah.
And the Eagles were also interested.
Yeah. In this article, it says he's biding his time until January for openings, that he's told confidants he'd be interested in coaching the Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants. Soros spoke with a longtime friend of his, said the friend wonders if the coach will ever have another opportunity. Quote, I don't think he'll ever be a head coach again, unless it's for Jerry Jones.
But there's a belief that Belichick will only coach until he gets 15 more wins, enough to pass Shula. So even though not seriously considering the move, Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, wondered to a friend, is it worth overhauling the building, changing personnel and philosophies on everything from training staff to salary cap structure for someone who may only coach 2 years? Quote from a source, an Eagles source, you'd have to start over again. Who would replace him? He hasn't had a good record of developing coaches. They were afraid that he'll have changed everything and every person, and then you'll be starting from scratch again. He didn't demand those changes, but they felt like if we hire him, we have to give everything to him and trust how he does it. So that's the Eagles. Maybe lurking, but Jeffrey Lurie, that Belichick would not be around after he gets the Shula record of 15 more wins. Two years, basically.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that would be a tough spot to be in. If he tears things down and then builds them up to his specs and he walks away pretty quick after that, that's not going to be as appealing to somebody who wants to walk in and do things in a very different way from the way Belichick does them. Because Belichick's process is completely different from the way that most coaches handle things. So that's why I wondered if Jerry would say, well, for us, I just need to convince him to come in here and light a fire and push us over the edge. We both need this short-term gain. I need to get this team over the edge. He needs this. Let's just knock this thing out. And that was the one thing that I thought might open the door to it. But like it mentions in that article there, Jerry generally is averse to changing coaches, and he doesn't want to pay people not to work. He doesn't want to pay out a contract and, like, here's 2 years to do nothing. If I'm paying you, you're doing something for me.
Also in this, Magic Johnson advocated to the Commanders owner for them to hire Belichick. However, Josh Harris, had spoken to Robert Kraft about Belichick and decided not to. So that was Magic Johnson saying, go and hire Bill Belichick. And the new Commanders owner said no. Commanders doing something crazy with their quarterback meetings, by the way. Like, bringing everyone in, everyone down?
They're sitting down with the three big ones, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy. Those ones that are the other three that are considered to go in the top five or so that aren't Caleb Williams. But, yeah, they're doing their due diligence, as the Cowboys would say. But I it does feel more and more like it's building towards Daniels, the LSU quarterback.
Another note, Robert Kraft called Arthur Blank to warn him not to trust Belichick. Quote, Kraft was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring Bill. Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult, kind of stubborn, and in the end, not worthy of his trust, and also very, very arrogant. So all the dirt, all the Patriot dirt is starting to come out. Chuck Cooperstein to preview Mavs Clippers starting Sunday at 2:30 our time at 8 o'clock.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
We are about to see fewer fights on an airplane. Reclineless seats are coming to air travel near you.
You get your wish. Y'all get your wish.
I'd never recline my seat anyway.
I'm stunned when people do. I'm stunned when like that when people feel the comfort just like, yeah, deal with this. I'm surprised.
Well, I'm so worried.
I won't ever do it.
What are you really dealing with? It barely goes back.
It's so tight in those spaces to begin with. I don't want any additional encroachment on my 1.5 by 1.5 foot space.
I don't mind it if I don't have my laptop out working. If I'm working, it is a nightmare.
I'm afraid it's going to get crunched.
It's going to get crunched. I've seen that. And it's also just very difficult to type when you have your computer out there. So if I don't have my computer out there, fine, do it. I don't care if I'm just sitting there. But if I have my computer, man, don't do that.
By the way, I have a Dak update. This is all coming from WFAA. Dak Prescott's accuser dropped sexual assault lawsuit in Dallas County. But a follow-up from WFAA says that the lawyers for the accuser tells them they're refiling in Collin County. So I don't know what all that means, but at first I saw lawsuit dropped, but now WFAA says refiled in Collin County.
I don't know. Is that because, like, I wouldn't know? Like, I mean, Dak, I know. No, the text of the thing said it was in Dallas County, but I don't know if it's because Dak filed first and Dax was in Collin County or like what it is. But yeah, this just seems like it's a procedural decision.
Oh, well. Anyway, they're talking about removing.
We should get the attorney on to ask why they're doing it.
Enjoy that.
Anyway, they're saying they're doing it. Why are they doing this? Not for anything that's like a good nature to avoid fights. I don't know. They're doing this to reduce weight on the aircraft because like the reclining capability adds screws and mechanics, which if you add it up over 200 seats, weighs the plane down.
Oh, that's why all the planes are falling apart because we're reclining.
No. And then with the added fuel cost, it's going to allow them to keep the same price of tickets, but then also make more profit because they have less fuel drag, if you want to call it that.
That has been if you look at recent history, that's been a great decision for airlines and stuff like that, has been the decision to try to maximize profits.
Right.
That's
always worked out really well. Maximizing profits, but it's working so well for Boeing. So anyway, less fights on airplanes.
People fight about that, the recline?
Yeah, there was a big viral video a couple months back where a woman kept trying to recline her seat and whoever was behind them kept pushing the seat up. And was like, no. Don't do that. So that's one thing here that took place. Do you say you're sorry?
Oh, you got to get to the jacket.
Okay, let's do the jacket one. Yeah, the jacket one. This was on a plane the other day. An airline passenger. Now, sidebar here. The airline passenger was a very old woman in a wheelchair. Wheelchair down to the plane. The family members had to lift her up and put her in the seat. Now, they gave her a middle seat, which, I mean, that's enough of a problem for you. But they hung her jacket over the seat back. So the jacket was covering the person's TV screen behind them. So the person in the seat behind them couldn't watch their TV screen because the jacket was wrapped around the seat and they couldn't watch TV.
Wow.
So this is the so the person did nothing. It was like, I'm just going to fight through it. It's a four-hour flight. I'm going to fight through it. I'm not going to do anything.
Ooh.
I'm not going to say a word. It's an old lady. She's in a wheelchair. She probably didn't even know she has a jacket. That's how old she is.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying something and then being able to watch the TV. And I wonder how many people, based on who the person is in front of you, if it's some, like, jerky-looking dude, that's one thing, but it's an old woman or an old man, are you saying something, doing something, or moving it yourself, or is it to leave it be?
I mean, I'm generally...
Bobby's not going to say anything.
Probably not. Just because it's, like, we're all stuck next to each other. That's, like, if it turns south, then it's just weird for the whole flight.
So this is just the jacket on the back of their chair. And what is that blocking anymore, though? Because I don't get any screens. Okay, there are still screens. I can't remember the last time we've been on a flight that had the screen on the back.
Broke boy flights. On our bougie ones. Like, when Chop and I are, you know, flying in first class, we still have them.
When do you guys do that?
I mean, any other flight that I'd take that isn't...
You fly first class all the time?
I never fly first class, but I fly airlines where I know my seat is.
I still get the screens on a lot of the American flights when I take them.
Okay. Yeah, I would say, hey, is it possible? Do you mind just so I can watch the TV? That's how I would approach it.
Would you ask her or would you, like, mention it to, like, the flight attendant?
Her.
Okay.
That'd be a chicken.
But, I mean, they sat her over there, so, like, they probably helped her and, like, contributed that and just be like, hey, can we...
Ma'am, is it possible? And then when she has to hold her jacket, and then she's got to, like, try to scurry out to the aisle to put it up top.
Right, barely walk,
hold it for you if you want, and just chunk it under my seat, throw it in the back of the plane.
I think the way this thing is laying over me, what I would probably do is I would try to just kind of move it up and rest it on top of the seat, hopefully without her noticing.
And what if you push too high and it flops over and lands in her face?
Then I would just act like the plane did it on its own.
I mean, that's not the worst thing that's happened on a plane recently, so that's not too bad.
Very good, very good. Okay, so how likely are you to say you're sorry? This is interesting. Some people cannot admit when they're wrong.
Most.
Most?
One of the biggest weaknesses in society.
I can. I'm just never wrong is the thing.
Yeah. You're probably... You did it the other day with Kristen, and I was shocked. I was shocked you did it on air the other day. But Choppy... pretty impossible. Me, not a high rate.
Here's
in my household either. Pepe, how are you with it?
I think I'm 50-50. You know, I'll try and fight it for the longest time, but if it'll end the feud going on, then I'll say, you know what, it's my fault.
My wife's terrible at it. It will only happen, like, the blow up has to happen first between us, and then we're both at the end after the big fight. Maybe we'll say it at the end.
So there's two different questions, and I'm on the polar end of probably both of them. Admitting you're wrong about, like, debates like we have in here, I'm not going to do that. Saying, like, I'm sorry when I have done something wrong to someone, I feel like I'm fairly proactive at if I have been rude to someone.
Yeah. It's much more difficult to say I'm sorry than admit you were wrong in the argument. So why do you choose the tougher one?
No,
because that's what drives Sandler crazy. Yeah, like I may have been wrong.
Wait. Please finish your point. About Sandler?
My whole life is writing apology letters. Like, I write more apology letters than emails to the show. All I do is write an apology. I go around town.
What?
Just apologize.
What's the last thing you apologize for?
I mean, I don't even remember. Like, it was yesterday. I apologized for something.
I doubt that.
But I don't admit, maybe that's to me is different than admitting you're wrong. I could easily say I'm sorry. I don't necessarily believe it, but I will say I'm sorry.
Okay, so you all think saying I'm sorry is easier than admitting you were wrong about something.
Yes.
When it comes to, now obviously if you're wrong and you hurt someone and you have to apologize for that, then in that context, yes. In this context where we debate things or whatever, where it's a little bit more up to interpretation or it's like opinion based or whatever, then I'm just going to, like, I can't do that.
Why? That's because
I'm not
extremely unlikable, annoying, hateable trait.
Well, I'm sorry, Sean.
And that's Sandler. That's Sandler's most hateable. Well, not most hateable thing about you, but one of them.
All right. So, what three zodiac signs would rather die than apologize?
Oh, mine has to be in there. I bet they're towards the end of the month, end of the calendar.
You're a Scorpio. Scorpio.
I bet Scorpio and Sagittarius are somewhere on there.
All right. Let's find out.
My wife and I.
The first one is a Taurus.
What's that month?
April 20th to about May 20th. Sarah falls into this one.
My mother,
I feel
too.
Like Sarah can. She says she's sorry. They should rather die than do that. But they, for the most part, refuse to admit. Carry the battle with them. Don't let them bring it to you. The old Harry Truman quote.
Okay.
Next one, Leo. July 23rd to August 22nd. An apology requires a certain degree of self-reflection and a shot glass full of humility. And Leos do not blank with the humble. They do not have humility at all. Big cats bring big energy. And finally, the last one on the list, Scorpio.
Yep.
October 23rd to November 21st, rulers of the basement realm of secrets of transformation, well-versed in manipulation and adept at inverting blame, gaslighting the offended party, deflecting culpability,
yep,
and creating a scenario that makes the person seeking apology feel like they owe them one.
Yeah.
What a trait. What a trait. You're so wrong, and you argue that the other person feels the need to apologize to you. What a trait that is, man.
I don't know. I feel like this sort of stuff here is, like, you just see what you want to see from the descriptions, and then you discount the ones that are not about you. But, like, whenever I hear people talk about, like, well, I'm a Scorpio and I'm this, or I'm a Sagittarius and I'm this, and it's like, okay, but what about all these other things that I don't really feel are you? It's like, well, no. Like, I totally lean to it. Because, like, I don't even know what the traits are supposed to be. But I know every time somebody's read a Gemini to me, I'm like, I don't think that's me.
Look, this is one of the biggest flaws in all of society. It's why we all argue, yell, scream at each other. No one on either side can be like, oh, I was wrong about that. No, you got to dig in even harder. You got to triple down.
Oh, yeah, double down.
You got to go even stronger. And it is such a stubborn, jackass way of going about things. It's ignorant.
Yep. There's
ignorant.
They gave
Bobby
an example of a Scorpio, Winona.
Ryder?
It just says Winona. That's it. Winona Ryder. When she got caught shoplifting, she said she was just doing research. Just gaslighting the hell out of people. So shoplifted is research. Now, tax return time. I have not gotten mine yet. Mm-hmm. Haven't even done them yet. I'll do them eventually.
You got an extension, right?
Got an extension.
I just looked at my bank account during the last break. I saw the IRS payment debited out of my checking account.
Oh, no, so, already?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
For some reason, my mother has mine, and she's been having it despite me bleeding money with this new house and all these projects. And the family accountant told me, oh, yeah, I don't have that. Your mom has it. She's going to bring it out to you when she visits in a couple weeks. And I'm hitting my mother up, and I'm like, do you have my... She's like, I can't believe you have a copperhead in your house. I said, I don't care about that. The real snake has my
tax return.
I said, why do you have my tax return? And why is it not in my bank account or in my possession? And why is the accountant not sending me the check like they do every other year after I fill out and file the paperwork? So I got this nice fat tax return coming to me when my mother decides that I can have it. I got to sign a permission slip, apparently, at the age of 42 or 40, whatever I am.
How old
42.
Are you?
Yeah.
So
the casino has mine, by the way. I don't know why they had it, but they took mine.
The IRS has mine from last year. Oh. Still waiting on it. And I'll file my taxes this year when I get mine from last year. That's how it's going to work. That's how it's going to work, baby.
Good for you.
Two could play that game. all right. So what sign will blow their tax return this year?
Oh, big free spenders.
Money
burns a hole in their pocket.
Now, they have some background on some of these. Geminis are most likely to file an extension because they misplaced their W-2.
Oh.
Scorpio is busy burying assets in an offshore account and cash in their family plot. That sounds exactly like you. Aquarius hasn't just filed their taxes in years. They believe currency is a fetid social construct that can't be traced. Libra got married solely for the incentives. Cancer lied about their charitable donations.
Wow.
And Capricorns file early. So these are the ones that are most likely to blow through their tax return first. Aries, which is March 21st to April 19th.
Oh, that's tax time.
They are going through it, and they should be forgiven for doom spending their tax return on impulse and flourish. Next one is Sagittarius, which is right after you, November 22nd through December 21st. They're a good luck, good times kind of people. And then finally, Pisces. So none of us are most likely to blow our tax return.
You would be the leader in the clubhouse, at least with the way that you used to just shop and splurge on things. I don't know how Sarah has changed that, but Amazon shopping, you would go and spend.
Yeah, now I would take my tax return to pay down my IRS debt that I currently have. That's what I would use my tax return.
I just endorse the IRS check and then hand it to a bartender at a free bar.
Peyton, are you a big shopper?
Kind of. I mean, I'm frugal with my money, though. You know, I'm not.
Oh, yeah,
I know.
Never mind.
Sounds like it.
Stupid question.
I'm looking at the clearance section right now.
The what? Clearance?
The clearance?
Is it clearance?
Clearance.
It's clearance.
It's
clearance.
Never. No one has ever said the clearance
it's close
section.
Enough. It's close enough, RJ.
I love you.
It's you my are, southern accent.
You,
it's
no, southern no, accent. You can't read.
You are a treat.
The clearance section.
You are an absolute. True.
That would be me, though, the Gemini misplacing their W-2 because I did that this year. So, and I lose everything.
Gordon Ramsay or McDonald's?
Let's try to combo.
What's the difference?
Oh, shot fired. Wow. I think you can save that and talk about the clothing decision that you all made together.
Oh, with the winter clothes.
Yeah.
Rompers?
We took all of our winter clothes and we've changed. We've put them all in the other closet.
All right.
In somebody else's bedroom. In the kids' bedroom.
So it's over.
Winter's over. No more hoodies. I don't have any hoodies. I have no hoodies right now.
All right.
I've got no sweatpants. I've got nothing. I have made the decision. Not Mother Nature. Me. Because we are in April. I've made the decision. It is summertime. The pool's open. I got, you know, waist deep in the other day.
Oh, nice.
We got waist deep in. It's summertime. So we have made the decision. We have taken, because we don't have enough storage space. Our closet's way too small. Way too small.
So the cold, chilly April, you don't think is happening anymore. It's over.
It may happen, but I'm going to suffer through it.
All right.
Mentally, I'm through it. I was really jealous of your closet yesterday. Very, very jealous.
Well, her closet.
Your side of the closet is our closet.
Oh, okay.
Tiny. Tiny closet.
So Monday morning when you wake up and you're heading into the station and it's supposed to be 58 degrees, you're just like, whatever.
It's a high 58.
You better hope tomorrow. That we're good in Las Colinas outside. Now you better stick with this. Now you're set. It's a high of 89 tomorrow. This morning, every window was fogged up.
Yeah.
In my house, the car, all of it. But tomorrow, high of 89 and a 60% chance of storms. So maybe we'll be doing the show inside where it could be colder inside, but you are not allowed to put on pants or a hoodie. Let's preview Clippers Mavericks with the voice of your favorite basketball team, Chuck Cooperstein, starts off the whale list next on Sean and RJ.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.